and the healing each and every day, no matter where we're at, work, home, here, throughout the week. We again thank you for your sending your son to die on the cross and the blood that's shed for each and every one of us. Help us to keep that forefront in our minds each and every day, every minute, every hour of every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight we're going to be going over an extension of what Pastor was running through with gratitude and praise to God that we give each and every day. I'd like to start off, I found a translation that's from the French, Madame de Guyon by William Cowper, that's called Gratitude and Love to God. I like music and poetry, the lyrics, the songs, they tell stories. Well, most of them do, the good ones do. But poetry does the same thing. It causes us to think, to reflect, and to look at things differently. But it's called, its interpretation is called Gratitude and Love to God. All are indebted much to thee, but I far more than all. For many a deadly snare set free and raised from many a fall. Overwhelm me from above daily with thy boundless love. What bonds of gratitude I feel, no language can declare. Beneath the oppressive weight I reel, 'tis more than I can bear. When shall I that blessing prove to return thee love for love? Spirit of charity dispense thy grace to every heart. Expel all other spirits thence. Drive self from every part. Charity divine, draw nigh. Break the chains in which we lie. All selfish souls, whate'er they feign, have still a slavish lot. They boast of liberty in vain, of love, and feel it not. He whose bosom glows with thee, he and he alone is free. O blessedness, all bliss above, when thy pure fires prevail. Love only teaches what love is, all other lessons fail. It struck me as kind of, that came through, I don't know where it came from. Well, God, I mean, it was the only thing I could say, what God gave, he gave it to me. He brought it around. I don't know, I was looking for, well, this is starting the lesson tonight, but it's going to be sort of three parts. It's going to be praise and gratitude through compassion, through an act of compassion will be the first. The second will be praise, gratitude, and praise through extreme sacrifice. And we wind up in Daniel with praise and gratitude through trials and tribulations. Sad to say, most of the human race, we usually spend more time in the last in trials and tribulations, going through trials and tribulations than anything else. But we're going to start in Luke. If you would turn to Luke 17, it would be chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Chapter 17, verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men with what were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save the stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. An act of compassion through Jesus' hands, personally himself. But only one came back. We have a tendency, myself included, we take things for granted. We take the blessings that Christ gives us for granted. I mean, the air we breathe, the blood that flows through our veins, the heart that beats, that pushes that blood through the veins. Sitting here, the strength to get out of bed, like I mentioned, in the morning, to put on our feet on the ground in the morning. There are thousands of people that can't even do that. They can't even get out of bed, let alone they'd like to, but they just can't. We tend to have a tendency to take it for granted. I do as well, and shame to say that I do. But I more or less need to slow down, I think, because the busyness of everyday life, as well, like the pastor said, Satan has a tendency to keep us all busy. I think that's the biggest issue that we have. He sidetracks us. Those rabbit trails the pastor talked about, it's easy to go down the rabbit trails, get lost on the rabbit trails. It's easy to get lost in the busyness of every day, the day-for-day life, and we take things for granted. I mean, we're sitting here, we're breathing, we're feeling well. I mean, most of us, minor pains maybe. Some pains, no pain, strong, but we do have a tendency to take that things like that for granted. Like I said, because of decisions that were made, obviously most have known because of I put myself where I did, in the hole where I did, and it was a long way out. And when you get out in life, you have a tendency to overlook. He was there the whole time. His grace, His mercy brought me through the whole time, even though I didn't want to admit it, or I didn't take the time to admit it, I guess you'd say. But He was there, guiding and directing throughout the years, down year for year, and keeping me alive as well. Because like I said, there are many times that I know for a fact in my own life that I should not be standing here. And there are guaranteed probably many times that I don't know that I should not be standing here anyhow, whether or not. But we have a tendency to take things where we go through daily life. The busyness of everyday life keeps us busy, keeps our minds going in one way when we should be focusing and thanking God for, I mean, even the blood His Son shed on the cross for each and every one of us. That should be in our minds daily, on our lips daily. But sometimes it's only there Wednesday nights or Sunday mornings or Sunday evenings when we go to church. Once again, like I said, I can use myself as an example. That's for years past, that's the way it was. And taking things for granted, because of an act of compassion, what Christ did, He healed the lepers here. He sent His Son to die on a cross for our sins. It's an act of compassion, the ultimate act of compassion for us. But the second that we're going to go through, we're going to go to Luke chapter 21. It's only a few chapters over, verses 1 through 4. It's talking about the widow's mite. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, "Of a truth, I say unto you, that poor widow has cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her pure penury hath cast in all that living that she has." It's an act of gratitude and thankfulness by way of sacrifice. It was a sacrifice for her. It was the entire sacrifice for her because she had nothing left to give. Everyone else did. When they were giving, like he said, they were giving in of their abundance. But she knew and understood the full scope of what we were just talking about, of Christ, of God sending His Son to die on the cross, shedding His blood for our sins. He said He served the ultimate, He gave the ultimate sacrifice. She, in turn, did the same. as she sacrificed all she had. She put everything she had in the offering. She had nothing left to give. I guarantee God blessed her far more than everyone else that was putting in of the abundance. But that comes along the line of praise and gratitude, of sacrifice, things we have, whether it be our time, whether it be our money, whatever it may be. God calls each and every one of us for a certain, he has a mission for each and every one of us. They're different, the same as everybody has different fingerprints. There's a different mission for each and that he has for each and every one of us. It may include time, it may ask for a sacrifice of your time, commitment for somewhere in the church, missions, fields, pastorate, Sunday school teacher, piano player. But he has many different missions for each and every one of us. Some has more than others, but it requires sacrifice. It requires commitment on our parts. And she gave the ultimate sacrifice. She understood exactly what Christ did for us on the cross. And she showed it by action. Actions speak louder than words. When it comes down to actions speak louder than words. Dad had, I don't know where you ever got that. I thought that old saying, it says, if you can't say thank you for a gift, give it back. That kind of gets the, I don't know if that's for generation after generation, but it kind of puts it into stark reality. I mean, Christ died for each and every one of us, for the salvation for each and every one of us. I mean, you can't give it back, but there's definitely something to, we need to thank him each and every day for the hope that he gave us, for the hope that he gave each and every one of us. Because if he didn't, I mean, he didn't die on the cross, there would be no hope for any of us sitting here. There would be no hope from the beginning of time to the end, to the last trumpet's called, till the last person's drops. There would be no hope. And people without hope are dangerous, and they're dangerous individuals. I've seen quite a few down through the years of people with no hope, that had no hope because of where they put themselves. And it's not a pretty sight, because they know, they understand, they realize they have no hope, and they're living like it. I mean, they're kamikazes, that's what them, and they go through life, not a care in the world about any of themselves or anyone else around them. And it's not a pretty sight. But we're going to go to Daniel 4, chapter 4, verses 28 through 37 for the end, for this last check mark on this list here. It's right after Daniel had interpreted the dream for Nebuchadnezzar. And he told him what was going to happen, exactly what was going to happen, when, how. And Nebuchadnezzar just sort of, I think he was just like, sort of like a bobblehead. His head just kept nodding, but he wasn't fully understanding the scope of what Daniel was telling him for the interpretation of the dream. Or at least he didn't listen to the last part of it. Because this part where we come in here in chapter 4, verse 28, is about a year after Daniel had interpreted the visions, his dreams, for Nebuchadnezzar. But this is where it talks about gratitude and praise through trials and tribulation. And I would say that he had his share. But we're going to start in verse 28 and go to 37. And all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. And at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, "Is not that great, this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" There I had, it sticks out like a sore thumb. This my, there is no God in I, or the my, mine. When you start using words like that in your vocabulary, God isn't in it. God isn't in the action, whatever it may be, whatever you're doing. And it just, that sticks out like a sore thumb, because he's taking, his pride's taking over, his ego's taking over. Granted, he was the king, and it's been over a month, over 12 months since Daniel interpreted the dream for him, and he could have, because of maybe lax of short-term, long-term memory, might have been a little bit on the lax side, but he still had no excuse. On with 31, it says, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. Said he was driven from the men, from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, Nebuchadnezzar lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can say, stay his hand, or say unto him, what dost thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the kingdom of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Nebuchadnezzar had a fair warning shot whenever Daniel interpreted the dream, because he told him exactly what was going to happen to him and his kingdom in the future. But like I said, over a year's time, I guess that Nebuchadnezzar had the ego and the pride took over. I mean, he, like I said, he was king, and kings were, they looked at the property they held, the people, the slaves they had. I mean, the more they had, the better, the bigger the kingdom. And the ego and the pride can go to the head. I mean, that's, I can understand. I've wanted to start a band for years and years to come, but it's just like being rich or anything else. We can understand those of us that weren't born into it. If we were given it to, if so, we talk about, you hear somebody say, "I wish I'd hit the lottery, or I'd do this, that, and the other thing." It's like, no, you might not. I mean, we weren't born into it. We weren't born into with a silver spoon. But when it comes fast, it leaves just as fast or faster. And like I said, when I wanted to start a band. I wanted to start one the worst way for years and years and years. I look back on the time I've had down through the years. I look back and I can understand. I can see where I would have been if I would have been able to get one started. I may. There's many possibilities. It's like chessboard. I mean, you have to look 14, 15, 20 moves, 25 moves down the board. If you stop and think, well, like I said, Satan keeps us busy running around the chessboard. We don't look 15, 20, 25, 30 moves down the board. It was coming, or what could come, what the possibility could come or could happen. And we jump on the decision that we make, and sometimes that decision isn't as good as it should be, and we end up paying the price and putting ourselves in a hole that we can't get out of too well without help, without Christ's help. But when it comes to praise and thankfulness, I have to, myself personally, like I said, I have to thank God for his grace, his mercy, for being alive and standing here right now, simply for the fact. I mean, yes, I thank him for the Son's blood that he shed on the cross for my sins, each and every one of our sins, but his mercy and grace that's kept me alive all these years and still going all these years, it's something to shout praises for and gratitude for. And it should be from the rooftops. And I, sad to say, like I said, I take for granted a lot of things, like the air we breathe. Just sitting here, the blood flowing through our veins, him keeping us alive. Everything we have is just borrowed. Vanity is vanity. Solomon said it. All is vanity. I mean, everything we have is borrowed. Everything's he just gives us what we need. Not what we want, but what we need to motivate throughout this track of life. And he steers us where he needs to be. He brings people into our lives that help in certain ways, whether it be just for prayer partners, whether it be pastors, whether it be Sunday school teachers, whoever it may be. But they steer in the right direction, away from this path, which wouldn't be so good, the decision if we made. But Solomon, like I said, he had it right. All is vanity. The body we have is just borrowed. It's a vessel that Christ has, that Christ gave us to accomplish his work on this world, on this planet, whatever our mission may be. Some people don't find it. I mean, that's the sad part. They say they'll go to their grave and they don't even know what their mission in life was that God wanted. They lived a good life, maybe, but they did this, they did that, but they didn't serve in the capacity that he wanted them to serve because their mind wasn't open to it. They weren't grateful or gratitude, thankful enough. Paul, I mean, the thorn in the flesh, nobody even knows what the thorn in the flesh was. A lot of people can speculate, but no matter what we speculate, the thorn in the flesh gave him problems, whether it be mentally, physically. It was a serious problem to the point where he asked God, when he told him, "My grace is sufficient for you," I mean, that's the answer that he gave. He had to say thank you. He had to be grateful and say thank you and praise God for whatever that infirmity may have been, whether it been emotional, physical, mental. I have no idea, but they're speculated down through the years. A lot of us have physical problems. I have Lyme's. A lot of people have Lyme's disease. They're suffering with Lyme's. They're suffering with cancer. They're suffering with many things, whether it be this virus. And just like the pastor said, all of this, God, it didn't, nothing surprised God, no matter what it was. Cancer, this virus, any virus, it doesn't surprise God in the least. He wrote the book, beginning, middle, and end. I mean, there is no surprise for him. So even through the trials and tribulations, the hardship, maybe if you get up, I mean, we have aches and pains. I have aches and pains when I get up and out of bed in the morning. I don't want to go to work sometimes. Mondays is a rough day. But it's something to be grateful for and something to thank God for no matter what, no matter how we look at it. If you look at it that way in a positive way, it may give you a positive spin on the day. It may have turned that Monday around into a decent good day. I mean, it put a smile on your face when you walk out the door. I don't know. It puts a smile on someone else's face to see a smile on your face. They want to know why you're so happy or why you have a smile on your face all the time. You're praising, thanking God for the problems he's given us, whether it be the pain in the back or a pain in the feet or Lyme's disease, cancer, whatever it may be. To be able to put a smile on your face through the whole time, through those trials and tribulations, that's praise and worship to God. That's praise and thanks to the God, the Creator, that made each and every one of us. But that would be it. If you join me in prayer, I'll finish up here in a minute. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you again, thank you for each and every one of the family members that are here. We thank you for their lives. We thank you for the commitment. We thank you for their dedication. We thank you for each one, each and every life that is here as a representative. We pray that